It's 7:43. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Energy-conscious homeowners may not know about a program to cut the cost of energy-efficient equipment.
If you decide to put solar panels on your home, you can get back 30% of the cost of those solar panels via a tax credit.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. West Virginia legislators are holding their interim meetings at the state capitol in Charleston this week. On Monday, they learned that official revenue projections for the 2025 fiscal year are lower than original estimates. Eric Douglas has the story.
The state is 2 months into fiscal year 2025, but Mark Mukow, the deputy secretary for the Department of Revenue, said today that revenue for the year is expected to be nearly 8% lower than estimated. That is a difference of $446 million. The Legislative Joint Committee on Finance learned that several factors are contributing to the reduced estimate, including the phase-in of the personal income tax cuts and specifically the property tax rebate credits. Additionally, the state met a trigger level to reduce personal income by an additional 4% for this year. Corporate income tax collections are expected to be lower this fiscal year as well. The state ended the 2024 fiscal year with a budgetary excess of $632 million. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Eric Douglas in Charleston.
Something else lawmakers are looking at this week, understaffing in the state's prisons and jails, which actually improved last summer. Jack Walker has the story.
From May to August, correctional officer vacancies in state facilities fell from 12 to 9%. Non-officer vacancies fell from 20 to 18%. William Marshall, commissioner of the West Virginia Division of Corrections and Rehabilitation, said that that's a testament to the environment his agency has cultivated.
We're really happy with what we've been doing in regards to not only recruiting officers and employees, but retaining them as well.
In recent years, state prisons and jails have faced scrutiny for understaffing and safety issues. Governor Jim Justice issued an emergency declaration in 2022 over the low staffing levels. The West Virginia National Guard helped fill the vacancies temporarily, but the organization was relieved of its duties in May once staffing levels returned to a sufficient level. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker in Shepherdstown.
The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story on solar panels and the tax credits and rebates that many consumers don't know about.
It's been 2 years since the nation's historic climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act, was signed, and some Pennsylvanians are starting to take advantage of its programs. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsoppel. The IRA is the biggest investment in clean energy projects in U.S. history, and many Americans don't know about it. Even though some of its programs could directly benefit consumers, like the Residential Clean Energy Tax Credit. Flora Cardoni, Deputy Director of Penn Environment, looked at recent federal tax data showing that last year, more than 30,000 Pennsylvania residents claimed this credit, saving them nearly $150 million on their taxes. I asked Cardoni how it works.
Basically, how it works is if you decide to put solar panels on your home, you can get back 30% of the cost of those solar panels via a tax credit. You know, some version of clean energy tax credits, solar tax credits, have existed for a long time. And we've seen that that's been a huge driver of solar adoption in the United States.
The tax credits for making your home more energy efficient, that is the energy efficient home improvement credit, right?
The energy efficient home improvement credit is the credit that applies to appliance upgrades for things like heat pumps for heating and cooling, heat pump water heaters or geothermal heat pumps. There are electric panel or circuit upgrades, insulation, getting more efficient doors. And all of those are about 30% of the cost. And then depending on which appliance or which thing you're upgrading, there may be dollar amount caps. So, for example, for heat pumps, you can get back 30% of the cost up to $2,000 per year. You would do that home upgrade, make sure the heat pump you're buying or the solar panels you're installing qualify. And then when you're filling out taxes for that calendar year, you'll fill out IRS form 5695. Certainly an accountant, though, whoever helps you do your taxes will know more about it and can help you. I will say, though, that a lot of the money for energy efficiency, there's additional money that will be flowing through the state in the form of rebate programs. That program should be live in Pennsylvania this winter for things like insulation and air sealing materials, duct sealing, and more.
And a rebate happens after you already buy something.
Yes. After you buy something, but you don't need to wait all the way till you file your taxes to get the return.
Yeah. While these are significant tax breaks, they only really work out for people who can afford the initial investment in like a solar array or even a heat pump.
Yes. And that's why we're, you know, excited about the rebate programs to come a little bit later, because things like, you know, caulking your windows and sealing your home to save energy, which, of course, is the cleanest form of energy. The energy we don't use in the first place is good for our planet, but also saving folks money on their utility bills. Those switches are a lot more affordable for the average person to make, and they can still benefit. At the same time, we hope that people who might not be able to put solar on their roofs themselves can still help advocate for more solar in their communities. You know, houses of worship or nonprofits that don't have a tax burden previously weren't eligible for clean energy tax credits. But now those institutions can receive 30% back on the cost of solar as well. And a ton of those entities don't know that that money is out there. So even if you can't necessarily go solar, you can certainly encourage your church or house of worship or community center to look into it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Flora Cardone is Deputy Director of Penn Environment. There's more at AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Kara Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. You're listening to West Virginia Morning on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It's 7:50. In the weather forecast for West Virginia, the hot drought conditions are expected to continue through tomorrow. It's going to be sunny, hot, and dry today with highs in the 90s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the 60s to the low 70s. And for tomorrow, sunny, hot, and dry with highs from 90 to 100 degrees. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a good chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs on Thursday in the mid-80s to the mid-90s. At the end of July, the Department of Human Services announced the hiring of West Virginia's first statewide intellectual and developmental disability coordinator. Appalachia Health News reporter Emily Rice sat down with the new IDD coordinator, Susan File, to learn how the coordinator will assist the IDD population. Since File, who you will hear speak first, is new to the Bureau, Christina Mullins, Commissioner of the Bureau for Behavioral Health, joined the conversation to fill in any blanks.
Could you tell me a little bit about like your work history and what brought you to this position?
Sure. So I have worked with people with disabilities the majority of my career, at least probably 25 years. I've been on the provider side. I was also... I'm a program manager at OFLAC, so I've been on the regulatory side of that as well. So I think that will really help me in this position because I can understand both components of it. There's certainly more components than just the two, but those are two big ones.
What would you say are your three main goals in taking on this new position?
Most importantly, the goal is to understand our current system for the care of people with IDD, with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And to accomplish this, I want to be meeting with the clients, the community providers, stakeholders, and others to identify and develop resources and supports to help them and their families. I also want to assure that all the clients with IDD are getting the right support at the right times in the right places across the continuum of care with collaboration from providers, community health, community mental health facilities, state hospitals and others.
What are the biggest obstacles you see to achieving those goals?
Probably the biggest obstacle is building a system of care and a continuum of care that allows for the least restrictive level of care for each client. It's really important to understand that it's a complex system, that a complex system like this doesn't happen overnight. It's not solely just a responsibility of one person or the Department of Human Services, but it's going to take collaboration by all the state agencies, the providers, families, policymakers, everyone working collectively towards the goal of the system of care and to assure the appropriateness of all the resources and the availability and the funding to meet these goals.
You may not know this, but has there been meetings with those state agencies and lawmakers and families and providers, you know, in this planning process? Has that happened yet?
I'm going to defer to Christina on that one.
They have begun. We've been meeting pretty robustly internally with our Bureau for Medical Services, or our Medicaid unit. We've also been meeting with the Bureau for Behavioral Health, which also provides services to individuals with developmental disabilities. We've been also collaborating with the state psychiatric hospitals and meeting one-on-one with those clients and families at those facilities, and working with the team on discharge planning as well. So we've had a lot of robust work going on prior to this, and Susan is being able to jump in to the mix.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And so back to Susan. What is it like to be the first in a new position?
It's actually very exciting for me. As I've told you, I've worked with people with disabilities for many years. You know, I've seen firsthand some of the barriers and obstacles that they experience. I'm excited about it because I feel like community integration is a very important part of a quality of life, and that people with disabilities deserve the same kind of life that as everyone else.
Could you explain where your position fits into the IDD waiver process, if it does?
Basically, since it's like, while my position is not responsible for the implementation of the IDD waiver program, many of the impacted individuals are approved for waiver. Therefore, I envision coordinating with the Bureau of Medical Services and to kind of determine what needs are specifically needed to successfully assure they get the best outcomes possible.
That was Appalachia Health News reporter Emily Rice speaking with West Virginia's IDD coordinator Susan File and the commissioner of the Bureau for Behavioral Health, Christina Mullins. Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This has been West Virginia Morning.